wanted to address something. I don't know if it was an issue for anybody here, but I, reflecting on my message on Sunday and talking to Heidi, realized that something that I said could be, I wasn't careful about the way I said it, and it could be misunderstood. And so I wanted to address that. When I was speaking about the issue that you need to pay attention to whom the scripture is addressed, that sometimes God deals with groups, sometimes he deals with individuals, I said, I made the statement, I said, your body is not a temple of the Holy Spirit. And, well, I realized later that I got some odd looks from a couple of people, and then I was thinking, what did I say? And then I realized, the Bible says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between the two statements I just made. You see, a lot of people talk, they say, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that's not true. There's one temple, and it's the group. Your body, you know, you, including your body, are a part of that one temple, but your body is not a singular temple. There's one temple for the whole group. Because we're so used to saying you that when you read that verse, that doesn't mean anything to your average American. For it to say your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, you're like, oh, okay, great. My body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. No. Your is plural. It's not singular. It's not thy body is a temple. He's talking to, and you have to go back and look at who is being addressed, and that goes all the way back to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1. He says, to the church in Corinth, and to all the you know, everywhere, you know, to everyone everywhere who you know, who's saved. So my point was to say my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit is an incorrect statement, because there's only one temple, and it comprises the entire group of saved people. So yes, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, but your is plural. So he's saying the group, and it's one temple, not multiple temples. Yeah, it'd be every single one of the members of the church. I wanted to address some of the verses that talk about it. It says, First Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And 3:17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Once again, one temple, multiple people. What? Know ye, once again, plural, not that your plural, body, singular. Don't ask me to explain that entirely, how it's multiple people, one body. I told Pastor Rico, I said, there's some, you know, elements here that are a little strange in the language. Is the temple, one temple, so multiple people, one temple, of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, plural, which ye, plural, have of God, and ye, plural, are not your, plural, own. So, you know, we need to pay attention to those things. You know, he's talking to the church as a whole, that the church as a whole is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So everybody makes up the temple. And that was just, you know, a little distinction there that I was trying to point out, and it caused some confusion because people are going, but it does say that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't explain the distinction, and so I apologize for that. But seeing how I'm talking about it, I wanted to talk about it a little bit more. There are some because of the fact that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know, the Apostle Paul makes some arguments from that truth. One is that we need to keep ourselves out of binding relationships, you know, specifically I'm talking about marriage with unbelievers. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It's 2 Corinthians 6:16. But if you read the immediately preceding verses, you have that famous passage, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then verse 7:1, continuing that thought, he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So one of the implications of being the dwelling of the Holy Spirit is wherever God is, wherever God manifests himself in a special way, it becomes holy. And holy means separate unto God for his use only. When something was declared holy, and you find that some things were declared holy unto the Lord that were to be destroyed, but that had that idea of being separated unto God. And because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that he dwells within all of us, and that shouldn't surprise us that we find one temple, multiple people, because infinite God, not a problem, you know. Who knows how many, you know, individuals have actually been saved, but we are all, you know, that God is building. In one point in Ephesians, he says that the work of Christ in the church is building a temple unto God. In Ephesians 2:21, it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And that we're all a part of that. And this lends itself to that part where Christ told the Philadelphians that the one who overcomes will be a temple, you know, will be a pillar in the temple of my God. Peter calls us lively stones, you know. God is building a temple that we become, you know, if the temple was the place where the presence of the deity was supposed to be, and we are indwelt, not this building, this is just a building, you know, who knows what's going to happen in years to come, you know, building might be torn down, might be turned into something else. I've seen former church buildings used as businesses, you know, obviously former churches, you know, they even have the steeple, you know, and they saw one that it was used as a law office, and lawyers thought that was interesting. But because God says that his Holy Spirit in a special way, you know, because the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, he's separate from, you know, this physical earth, and he fills everything. He says even the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. So the Holy Spirit's still everywhere, but somehow in a way that we don't fully understand, because we're locked into the flesh, we're locked onto this world, and our view is very limited to what we can see and hear and touch and taste. But in a special way, God's presence is with us. And because of that, we are said to be his temple, the place where his presence is. And because we are his temple, we are to keep ourselves pure. One day I was teasing Heidi about, she likes to go barefoot a lot. She only wears shoes if she has to. And I was picking on her, and she said, yeah, she brought up this passage about being a temple unto the Holy Spirit. And she said, and when Moses stood in the presence of God, he said, take off your shoes. And then I said, wait. Who's the man of God? Who's the man of God? when I it's a joking thing I do with her, but you know, when we're joking, arguing, I always, if I run out of arguments, I say, who's the man of God? Who's the man of God? And then she reminds me that in one of my sermons I preached, I said that I am no different than you. I'm not some kind of special person. So that doesn't really work anymore. No, I don't think it ever did, but we like to play argue sometimes. But consider that. You know, I talked about the fact that, you know, the Bible says that we are a spectacle to the angels, and that they watch us, earnestly curious about us and the work of redemption. And I talked about how nervous that made me when I read that, and I was thinking, I found myself thinking about it while taking a shower, and I said out loud, if anybody's watching, just turn away. But think about that, that God is always with you. Everything you watch, you bring him along as a witness. Everything you do, everything you say, you're doing and saying directly in the presence of God. And because of that, you know, we ought to honor the temple. And I don't mean, I'm not talking about, you know, like don't eat hot dogs because there's bad things for you in them. You know, because I've heard people talk that way. Jesus Christ says what goes into the body does not defile the body. So what comes out, blasphemies and fornication and swearing, he said, these things defile. When he says, he that defiles the temple, God will destroy, he's not talking about, you know, eating burgers or, getting a little chubby or something. He's talking about sin. And we ought to, you know, we are his children, and we are secure in him. But we ought to consider Ananias and Sapphira, were his children. And he killed them to preserve the holiness of the church. You know, I talk about, you know, I've talked about many times with people about the fact that God says that he will chastise his children. I used to hate getting spanked by my dad because when my dad married my mom, he looked like a professional bodybuilder. And he still was really built, even up until he was like 40 years old. It was after that he started putting on weight. And I've seen him do a lot of arm wrestling matches. I never saw him lose a one. I saw him do some amazing feats of strength. He had always worked with his hands, and one day he always had a big toolbox in his van. And one day something happened to the van, and he needed to get into the toolbox, and he needed to hurry, and it was locked, and he didn't have the key. And the toolbox was one of these sheet metal things, you know, folded and such. And he grabbed the padlock, braced his hand on the toolbox, and popped the mechanism off. I was just stunned. And I looked at it afterwards. The sheet metal of the lid was bent out. And he had pulled, and you could see the holes where he had pulled the screws through the holes. I mean, he was a massively strong man, way stronger than I ever was. And so he used to amaze me. One day, a teenage friend of mine, I said something rude to my dad, because I was mad, and my dad slapped me. And later, this friend of mine said, what's it like, because he had witnessed it happen, he goes, what's it like getting slapped by your dad? And I said, because my dad's hands were really rough and calloused from all the hard manual labor he did. I said, well, take coarse grain sandpaper and wrap it around a 2x4 with the sandpaper side outside. I said, and then have somebody smack you upside the face with it. I said, it's like, wham! But he was just strong is the whole point. And I was terrified of being, you know, receiving corporal punishment from him. Because he was just so strong. I was just like, oh man, this is going to hurt. Last spanking my mother ever gave me, I was around 13 years old. Me and my brother had gotten into a fist fight inside the house, and we broke something. I don't remember what it was. But my mom got really mad. She said, I told you guys, you know, not to rough around in the house. And she got the bell. She told us to take the position. And I was 13. My brother was just shy of 18. And she spanked us. It didn't hurt. I kept my mouth shut. My brother giggled. And my mom, she turned and looked at us. And she had this crazy look on her face. Her eyes were all big. Said, laugh at me? She left the room. And I looked at my brother and went, you idiot! Because I knew she was going to come back and murder us. And she came back with the broom. And she had her hand gripped around the base of the handle by the bristles. She lit into us with that thing. I was like, Jake, you're dumb. We could have gotten off. But we never got spanked by my dad, and it didn't hurt. But imagine you have the all-powerful, omnipotent God who can do anything, who one of his angels slew an army of over 100,000 in one night. And he says, I always chastise my children. And he says, keep my temple holy. Keep my temple pure. I don't want a spanking from the all-powerful living God. When I was speaking to my father-in-law, you know, he hasn't been faithful to come into church, and I've been talking to him about it again and again and again. Please pray for him. Every time he responds that, yes, he needs to be in church. And this last time when he had the appendicitis, I said to him, you know, when he was recovering in the hospital, I said, Dad, what's it going to take? How much does God have to do to get you to do what's right. And he said, hopefully not much more. I tried twice today to get a hold of him, and I couldn't get a hold of him. So just be in prayer for Marshall Neighbors. He's just really struggling giving in to his, just the flesh. So please pray for him. I'm not saying this, to be harsh and judgmental on him, but it's not good for him. What I told him was, I said, look, the Bible's very clear on this, that the church is a body that ministers to each other reciprocally. I said, by you not going to church, there are needs that you have that are not being met because God wants to meet them through your fellow believers. And there are needs that we have that are not being met because you're not here. And I said, God wants what's best for you. I want what's best for you. Please come. So just be in prayer for Marshall Neighbors. He's just really, really struggling. So, to end it, out of gratitude, out of a sense of love, we ought to maintain the holiness of God's temple. But we also ought to consider that if we are tempted to forget gratitude and loyalty, that God will not allow his temple to be defiled, and he will act in its protection. And you do not want to set yourself crossways to the purposes of the Almighty Living God.